Golagay. Good morning. If you're new here, welcome. The Bible clearly says that there's really no coincidences in life. And if you're here this morning, you may have chosen to come. But if you're here this morning, it's also because God drew you. And God drew you because He simply loves people, His creation. And He loves each and every one of us. And sometimes I almost think that's the bigger message. I can say stuff and we can sing it up here, but if you receive today a felt experience in the truth that God loves you, I'd be happy. It's simply what He is drawing us back to. I think often of this little prayer written by the Apostle Paul. And he's teaching, he's saying a whole bunch of really complicated stuff about how to live and about theology. But in the middle, he just kind of interrupts himself and he says this: "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." In other words, those who've gone on before us and are with the Lord in heaven. "I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." You know, I think there's at times when, and I certainly get caught up in it, that following Jesus and the religion Christianity is about being good. And that's a product of it and a fulfillment of it, but it starts first with God's love. Our goodness comes out of Him pouring His overflowing, huge, beyond imagined love into our hearts, and out of that, we respond. We don't try to be good to make God love us. God is like a father. When my kids were not doing what I would want them to do, I love them. It's true, isn't it? You just know it. Steve, you know your love pours out towards Connie. And that our Father's love pours out towards us. And Jesus died to wipe our slate clean so that we can begin every day afresh. If you're coming in here with a burden of guilt and thinking, "Oh, I'm going to go to church, but I'm just going to feel bad," wipe that away. You have a Father whose arms are wide open and knows everything about you and wants to pour His love into you. Amen. And again, if you're new, one of the ways we practice pouring out His love is there's a number of us. Often, Pastor Bob and Shannon go off for lunch together and they make their plans out in the foyer. Cheryl and I and Lyle and Heather, we always head over to Wendy's for a cheap, greasy burger after the service. We'd love you to join us. It's right on Scott Road at about 94th on the east side. Please come and join us. One more little note. Usually what I do on Sunday mornings and what we all do is we speak and try and explain little bits of God's love from this book. So if you've got it with you, I'd encourage you to open it. Today we're going to look in mostly in Matthew, mostly in chapter 4 of Matthew. We're going to look a little bit at the beginning of Matthew and a little bit at the end. And for those of you new as well, I read the New International Version myself, but when I preach, I mostly use the New Living Translation. I just find it its language is probably a little easier to understand. So, if you want to open your Bibles, you can put your fingers on Matthew chapter 4 and then be willing to look at the beginning and the end of it. What gets you pumped? What are you excited about? What are you so excited about that you want to share, that just bubbles out of you? If you know me, and I kind of overflow, I'm a little bit extroverted, you know that I love motorcycles, guitars, my family, and Jesus. Thank you, Shay. I've kind of got the order. Jesus, my family, motorcycles, guitars. But I also love working out. If for me, it's a great pleasure, and I think God has given us bodies, and one of my joys is pumping iron, and I've been doing it for over 40 years, since I was 9 years old, and I was in grade 10, weighing 89 and a half pounds, and my nickname was Hercules, but I've been lifting weights ever since then to build up this massive structure you see here today. But I'm always excited to talk about it. And last Wednesday, we were getting ready for a prayer meeting for the Karen leaders and our English leaders. We all got together and we prayed for you. You need to know that your leaders pray for you. And we prayed for a good hour and a half. But as we were getting ready, Pastor Bless was there. And Brother Colton McGlattery, where are you, Colton? Are you here?
Downstairs,
right. And he was getting ready to lead Alpha that night upstairs, and beforehand we were getting together, and as usual, when the three of us get together, the testosterone kind of gets going, and we start talking about working out, and before you know it, this happens. Colton's actually got a nice farmer tan going there, doesn't he? But we started talking about that and doing the flex, and Bless is actually going easy there because he's got the pythons there. But and so after we did that, Bless said, you know, we can't just do a bicep pose. We have to do a tricep pose, but first we got to pump them up. So they started doing some chair dips, you know, up and down, up and down. And actually, Colton, I have to tell you, Bless, Colton was actually rocking those there. You got to watch out for this young man. And so they did a tricep pose too. Colton's catching up fast. And then since we were all revved about that, of course the topic turned to protein powder. Because if you want to build the muscles, you got to have the fuel to do them. And I tell you, I used to love protein powder, but it actually has a negative effect on me. One, it makes my stomach feel bad. And two, you wouldn't want to be in a closed space with somebody eating a lot of protein powder. It kind of has a backfire effect. But Colton loves ISO Gold chocolate, is that right? And Bless loves Magnum chocolate peanut butter addiction. Those are his favorite. And this is where I'm talking about when you get excited about stuff and you want to share, you could see the lights going on behind Bless's eyes because he said, you know, I got to tell you about something that's been a benefit to my life, that's changed me. And he was a bit of an evangelist about this. And he says, there's a source of protein, a perfect source of protein you've got to know about. And let me tell you about it. And it's natural organic protein. It's not chicken. It's not tuna. It's frog's legs. Amen. And perfect natural source of protein. High in protein, low in fat, natural big frog's legs. And so you want to know that these are Pastor Bless approved. You want those those triceps? You do that. Amen. So the point is, when you get excited about something that's made a difference in your life, you want to share it with others. And not everybody is going to be excited about this, but you're an evangelist. You become evangelist, a good news spreader for those things that you believe in. And that's exactly how the writers of the New Testament of the Bible feel. They're pumped about the good news, the best news that they have, and they want to share. And we've been slowly working our way into the book of Matthew, a book that Matthew the tax collector wrote, the first book of the New Testament, about Jesus. And what does he get excited about? And what does he do about it? Well, he writes. And he writes a book because he wants to share this good news. Today we tweet or blog, or my daughter Zoe writes fan fiction pages and runs some websites where people interact because she wants to get the good news about Overwatch or other things out there, and she loves interacting. But in those days, Matthew was excited about this and he wanted to put this good news down in print. And you need to know this took an awful lot of work. Papyrus, which they were written on, which is their equivalent of paper, and fortunately very long last. Some of the stuff that was written down in those very early years after Jesus ascended to heaven has survived because papyrus, especially in a dry desert climate, lasts a long, long time. It's a papyrus reed split in half, beaten, and turned into paper. But it was very expensive. And to write this story was a long, hard labor of love. Just open it up and have a look, if you would, at the book of Matthew, and you recognize it's a long labor of effort. And it's an amazingly well-crafted document. The beginning relates to the end. Things are laid out in a pattern. It's very skillfully written. And there was no Bible Gateway. And there was no ability to cut and paste. And there was no spell check. So this was a long labor of love. But Matthew had a message that he absolutely wanted to share. And this message was worth the hard work it took to write down, to share. And it was worth so much that it eventually cost him his life. But he wanted to record this so it got to as many people as possible. And you need to know that on bestseller lists, the New York Times often puts out the English bestseller list that we see, but they've deliberately taken the Bible out of bestseller lists. You know why? Because it would be number one week in, week out, forever and ever, amen. It simply shares more and goes to more people everywhere in the world than any other book. So Matthew has succeeded. He wrote down this message that he wanted to share. And this message is the good news about Jesus, his friend, his master, his rabbi, his teacher, his Lord, and his God. And part of the good news is that this message is for everyone. There's a Bible in Karen. There's a Bible in English. There's a Bible in Mandarin and Cantonese and Tagalog. There's a Bible in Swahili. And Matthew tells us this message is for everyone by very skillfully putting this book together. And I'm going to show you something that we may not get right off the bat, but he wants us to. It's how he begins and ends his book. The book ends of the book. And when you do that, when you start the book in one way and you end it in a similar way, everything in between, that's called an inclusio. It means I'm including the stuff in between and is governed by these bookends. It sets a theme. So he begins his book with the genealogy. Have many of you tried to read the Bible starting at the beginning? No. Well, thanks for sharing, Shay. But if you do, Shay, most people get about into the book of Exodus, about halfway into the book of Exodus, and then they start bogging down. One for laws, two for things called genealogies. You know what genealogies is? So-and-so was the father of so-and-so is the father of so-and-so, and it's full of impossible-to-pronounce names, multi-syllable Hebrew names, and people just bog down. But those genealogies are in there for a reason. And when Matthew begins his book, he starts it with a genealogy, with the story of the forefathers of Jesus. And he begins with Abraham and David. But he begins with Abraham for a reason. Whenever you would say the name Abraham to a group of Jewish people, and hopefully to Christians now, your head would go, ding, 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 Abraham, guy who believed God would say what he would, was able to do what he said he would do, could keep his promises, and he was rewarded for that faith and trust. Amen? That's the ding, ding, that's the bells that should go off when you hear Abraham. So Matthew's book begins with this sentence. This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of David, so ding, 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 you go king, and of Abraham. Why Abraham? What are we supposed to make of Abraham? Abraham had a powerful trust in God, and God returned that trust with a promise. And this was the promise he was given. I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. And then this. And through your descendants, all the nations, keep that phrase in mind, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. So Jesus begins his story about Jesus by talking about his great ancestor, Abraham, whose name is famous 4,000 years later. You need to know that Abraham was as far in the past from Jesus as Jesus is from us. Abraham lived about 2,000 years before Jesus. A blessing for all the nations. Can I just stop here and say, Abraham didn't actually do super amazing things. But what he did do is when God said something, he obeyed. Sometimes reluctantly, sometimes falling on his face, but he trusted God. And because he trusted God, you and I are here today. You and I are blessed thousands of years later. May we all be Abrahams. Because when we believe God will do what he said he could do, he blesses us, but it pours out to others. Our trust in God always overflows. Amen? Who knows what stories will be told, what your faith will have accomplished. If the Lord doesn't come back soon, which we hope for, who knows what decisions of faith you have made today or in your life will be giving blessings years from now. I keep thinking in a way, and just to go off topic a bit, Alvina and Tom decided to buy a van so that they could truck their kids' friends to church. And that kind of blessing and other-centered trust in God got filtered into their kids, Grant, Lisa, and Carly. And that blessing overflowed from Lisa into Derek. You knew this was going there anyways. Because Lisa said, sure, I'll date you. You got to become a Christian. No marriage without you following Jesus. Derek decided to follow Jesus. And out of that step of faith, we can see Derek coming to faith. Out of that step of faith, we can say Shay here. Amen? It's amazing what a step of faith does. It overflows. It blesses. It goes out. And ultimately, it goes out to all the nations. So to back up, when you think Abraham, think faithfulness, think trust, and think blessing to all the nations. So Matthew's gospel begins with a reference to Abraham being a forefather of Jesus. Matthew's gospel ends with what we call the Great Commission. It's Jesus' final words to his followers, his disciples, his final charge, his commission, his marching orders to his disciples, his instructions to carry on after he ascends to heaven. Shortly after he gives these words, he will, before their very eyes, go up into the sky and disappear. And these words were for his disciples then and for us now. And this is what he says. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And then this, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. All the nations. This good news is for everyone. That's what Matthew is telling us by how he begins and ends his recollection, his story of the life of Jesus. He begins with this statement. This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. Ding, 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 Abraham. And then I think back, and through your descendants, all the nations of earth will be blessed. Genesis chapter 22. And then he ends. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Both of these comments share the same phrase, both of these same verses. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which would have been familiar to the Jews of Jesus' day, the language Hebrew was mostly lost to the average everyday person in Israel at that time. They're speaking a variant of Hebrew, and they were also reading Greek. And so in Greek, which the New Testament is written in, and in the Greek of the Old Testament with the blessing to Abraham, the same phrase is panta ta ethne. When you hear the word ethne, do you hear ethnic? It's where we get the word ethnic from. That means all the nations. And the word ethne can refer to nations, to tribes, peoples, people groups, families, and ethnic groups. It was God's plan from the beginning of time to bless all peoples. So it wasn't just good news. Sometimes, and it's crazy that the Bible and Christianity has been seen as that which is for white European people. Well, that's crazy. It started out as a Middle Eastern in the Middle East with people who were more brown and brown-haired and brown-eyed than most Europeans. And it was for all people, and it always was for all people. 2,000 years before Jesus, when God promised all nations would be blessed through him, it was for everybody. The gospel leaves nobody out. No one is isolated or excluded from this good news. We all know what it's like to feel left out. But God's eye is on everybody. Even the most bullied or the person who feels most left out or the saddest or the loneliest, God's truth is for them. It's for every tribe, every people, every language, every age, every man, woman, and child. There's no Greek or Jew, male or female, slave or free. In Jesus Christ, all are one. Every person born, the same God made us all, and the same Savior, Jesus Christ, came for us all. And it's what we're fortunate to see in our congregation today. It's one of the beauties of living in Canada, is looking around and saying, God has drawn all the nations together in his family. In this racially divided world, in a world where Satan, you can see him at work today, stirring up nationalism and groups that say, you can't come in and you must stay out, that Jesus says, no, everybody belongs. You're all brothers and sisters. There's no First Nations or Karen or Burundian or Chinese or Mennonite, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. The good news is for everyone. And Matthew sets that up by carefully writing his book that way. Can you see the artistry there? And he didn't have spell check, and he didn't have cut and paste to go back and forth. So he had to work hard. You know, I hate writing papers. That used to be the bugbear of all school. You know what the projects are like. But this was the paper of paper, so carefully put together to get this point across that the good news is for everyone. So what is this good news? I'm just going to unpack a little bit of it, because as we go through the Sermon on the Mount, we'll find out more and more about the good news. Because the good news is not just about external healing and what he'll do for our bodies, but the good news is also for the renewal of our hearts. So turn your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. And the good news is God's kingdom has come close to us in the person and presence of Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, verse 17 says this. From then on, this is after he's been baptized and tested in the desert, Jesus began to preach, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." You need to know the word kingdom of heaven is interchangeable with the word kingdom of God. Sometimes the Jews would use the word heaven because it felt almost too formal to use the word kingdom of God. But for Matthew and the gospel writers, they're interchangeable terms. So what does it mean when the kingdom of God comes near? What happens when God's come near? What's the taste of his kingdom going to be like? Well, in that same chapter, turn down to verse 23, and this is what it looks like, because Jesus demonstrates what the kingdom looks like. Jesus traveled through the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria. And soon, people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him. Wherever he went, people from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, and all over Judea, from east of the Jordan River. So when Jesus comes near, when the kingdom of God comes near, healing starts to happen. Now, I think one thing, just to help us wrap our minds around this, and this is actually a picture of overlooking the Sea of Galilee. The area we're talking about there is kind of, it's a little bit wider than, but imagine roughly from here to Hope, and just a little bit wider. That's the region we're talking about Jesus ministering in. It says, from Galilee, the 10 towns, the word you'll see in your New International Translation is called Decapolis, means 10 towns, Jerusalem and for all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. Other than Jerusalem, we're talking about an area roughly the size of the Fraser Valley. And the historian Josephus says there were 204 cities and villages, maybe up to 3 million people in this area. And that means word about him spread. And you can imagine sometimes just Jesus wasn't just walking around from small town to small town in a little area. He was on foot a long time speaking and preaching the same things over and over again. And word about him spread all over the Fraser Valley. And you can imagine people walking. If you had a paralyzed friend or a daughter who was suffering seizures, or someone who was suicidal and depressed or demon-possessed, you would take them to Jesus, wouldn't you? And so when Jesus comes near, healing breaks out. And people are healed of disease and illness. Those paralyzed could walk. The demon-possessed were set free. Those with other mental illnesses, all you can think of, depression, anxiety, bipolar, schizoaffective disorders, the ones we can put names on, they were brought to Jesus and they were healed. Those with seizures were cured. Those with cancer were raised. The blind could see. Wherever Jesus was, The kingdom of God broke out, and life and healing was restored to all who sought it and came in contact with him. So with Jesus' arrival, we know Matthew is telling us this is good news for everybody. It's good news for you and me. The son of Abraham for all the nations has come. The son of David, the true king, who is going to make the world great again, has come near. And where Jesus is, God is. And where God is, life is. And anyone who comes to him seeking life finds it. This is the good news to get pumped about. This is the good news to share, that in Jesus Christ, the kingdom has come near and it's breaking in and will continue to break in until the final second coming of Jesus, when every tear is wiped away and there's no more sickness or sorrow or dying. That's the good news to share. That's the good news to get pumped about. There will be no more sorrow, sickness, or death. There will be no more racial or national or tribal wars or strife. Peace and life will fully come in the person of Jesus Christ. And Matthew wants us to know that is for everyone, that it gives us hope, that healing is to come. Pastor Bless and I, along with Mr. and Mrs. Thane, went to see Baume in hospital this week. And once again, like so many of you have been doing, we anointed him with oil and prayed for him. And the good news for Baume, he's getting set up to go into palliative care, is twofold. God can heal him now, miraculously, and chase that cancer out. And the good news for Baume is if God delays that healing, he will be healed in the presence of Jesus Christ. And the good news is for all of us that that healing comes in the presence of Jesus Christ. We're fully healed there. And then at the resurrection, when he makes the world new again, we will all receive back bodies pure and holy like Jesus, free from all disease or illness or anxiety. Amen? This is good news. This is worth sharing. Be pumped about this. It's even better than frog's legs. Amen, bless. So, with that said, let's end once again with a great prayer Jesus gave us, which begins with, "Your kingdom come." Would you stand with me on this long weekend and pray to our Father that this his kingdom would fully come. Again, my friends in Karen, say it aloud with me in Karen, but let's pray to our Father in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Pastor Bless, you may be... Oh, well, actually, maybe you better... Do you want him to keep standing?